in the Passion Gospel we just read. It says, the Jews said, he has made himself the Son of God. When Pilate heard this statement, he was even more afraid. He entered the praetorium again and said to Jesus, where are you from? But Jesus gave him no answer. Pilate said to him, you will not speak to me? Do you not know that I have authority to release you and authority to crucify you? Jesus answered him, you would have no authority over me at all unless it had been given you from above. Pilate was having a problem with his self-identity. He was fearful. He did not understand who Jesus was. He did not understand what was going on, but he realized that there was great tumult going on in Jerusalem at the time, and that did not bode well for him as the governor. And so he was fearful. But in order to cover his fear, he puts on an air like a peacock, and he says, do you not know that I have authority to release you? Authority to crucify you? He tried his best to maintain his dignity in the midst of an undignified situation. But he was filled with fear, and he ultimately tried to avoid all responsibility, even literally washing his hands of the situation. Well, this is the second part of this two-part sermon, Who Are You? Palm Sunday, we were talking about who Jesus is, and Jesus asked his disciples, who do you say that I am? And Paul, when he met the Lord on the road to Damascus, says, who are you, Lord? And as was said in that first part of the sermon, this is a question that each one of us will ultimately have to answer. Who do you say that Jesus is? But now the second part is equally important. Who are you in the eyes of Jesus? Who does Jesus say you are? When you don't know the answer to either one of those two questions, it's very easy to get caught up in the turmoil, to get caught up in the fervor of the crowd, as it were. When you don't know who you are, it is tempting to believe what others say about you. But what did Jesus say? Who does Jesus say you are? Who does Jesus say I am? You know, it blew my mind when I was watching The Passion of the Christ again this week. And it hit me that was made almost 20 years ago. Makes you feel a little bit old. But I try to watch that. Usually I try to watch that every Lent at some point during the season of Lent. I just think it's a really good portrayal of the Passion Gospel. And I think Gibson did a really good job with it. But one of the years that I was watching it, and I can't tell you what year it was. It wasn't the first year. But one of the years I was watching, I got very troubled because I realized that I was identifying with the Jewish priests. I mean, those guys were doing everything that they could to protect the temple and to protect the Jewish way of life and to protect the Jewish law. They were men who were trying to practice, and I think, giving them the benefit of the doubt, they were trying to practice some integrity of their office, as it were. Now, mind you, I spent years As a high church priest, as one of my seminary professors said, I was a sack sit, a screaming Anglo-Catholic speaker in tongues. I was a high priest, and I loved all the high holy things with incense and bells and singing the Mass, and that's beautiful stuff, and it glorifies God. But I knew deep in my heart there was so much more, and I wanted everything that Jesus could offer. What was my identity? Was it a spiky priest, or was it a child of God? For me, yes, I am a priest. I am also an archdeacon. I'm the rector of this parish. I'm a husband. I'm a father, grandfather, a son, a brother, a friend, a neighbor. I'm an American, a taxpayer, an unaffiliated voter, and I am occasionally an incorrigible curmudgeon.
You're a bear of no brain.
And a bear of no brain. A very little brain. No, excuse me, very little brain. But are any of those my true identity? Who ultimately gives me my identity? You know, Corinth, the church at Corinth, was having a problem with this question. And Paul points out that the division that they were experiencing in the body at that time stemmed from this identity crisis. He says that each of you says, I belong to Paul, or I belong to Apollos, or I belong to Cephas, or I belong to Christ. Is Christ divided? So who are you? It really depends on how you answer the first question from part one. Who do you say Jesus is? I need to know who Jesus is, because without that settled in my mind and my soul and my spirit, I cannot know my true identity. Who do you give permission to define you? Who are you as the world sees you? Who are you as you see yourself? Who are you when the devil is trying his best to influence your self-perception? And who does Jesus say you are? Now, Scripture tells us that we are made in the image of God. We are children of God. Corporately, we are the body of Christ. We are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people. Our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. We are a new creation in Christ. And we no longer live, but Christ lives in us. And he calls us friends. He calls us friends. If you were to go into my bedroom, you would see on my closet door, I have two pieces of paper taped on my closet door right at eye level, so that when I open the door in the morning to get my clothes, those pass right before my eyes. The first of those two pieces of paper is a prayer. It's a prayer of protection on my family and on this parish family. The other is a piece of paper that has two questions on it. Who are you? What are you doing? I feel very strongly I have to answer that question every morning before I get dressed. I need to know who I am, and I need to know what I'm about. Who are you? My identity is in Christ. There is no option here for a worldly view. If Jesus is who he says he is, and you are who he says you are, then you belong to him. And Jesus commanded, follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. Of course, Dietrich Bonhoeffer expanded that just a little bit when he said, when Christ calls a man, he bids him come and die. You really have no choice as a follower of Christ. A follower of Christ will follow him wherever he goes. A follower of Christ will follow him all the way to Calvary. This is Holy Week. It is time for us to ask, who are you? What are you doing? What Jesus said about you was that you are so precious. Listen to this, please hear this. What Jesus said about you is that you are so precious that he would die for you. Who we are is not found in ancestry.com. I'm sorry to burst your bubble. It might be interesting, but it is not who you are. Who we are is found in our relationship with Jesus Christ. And he is Lord. Jesus has the final word. He is Lord. Jesus has the final word about our identity. As Christians, we are followers of Christ. We are in Christ. And in Christ, we walk all the way to Calvary and we die with him there. We die with him there that we may be resurrected in him. So why is this Good Friday? Because it's God's final statement on who Jesus is and who we are in him. You are so precious in the eyes of God that he sent his son to die that you might live. To seek Jesus is to seek to die with him that we might live in him. Amen.